Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jericho Rock, Undisputed Championship, Rumble 2002. I'm excited for this one, but first, Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Cold. It's crazy here. I know you're in more sunny temps, but man, I'm dealing with cold weather. This is ridiculous. So, but no season like not right now to talk about Royal Rumble though. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're in the thick of Royal Rumble season, and I'm excited for this one. I mean, this is kind of the last hurrah for The Rock as a active performer, right? I mean, he's off to Hollywood, and Jericho is stepping into a main event role, which is interesting, you know, because he's a small WCW guy. He's not supposed to be, you know, mixing it up with The Rock and Austin and Angle and all these guys, but here he is. And then, of course, here we are 20 years later, and he's still main eventing wrestling.
Yeah, it's almost crazy. We're going to talk about it, but they really, like, as we like say around here, they really strapped the rocket to him this time. Like, it's kind of crazy what he was accomplishing and stuff like that. So, I mean, taking on The Rock in this match, things like that, you know, so, yeah, exciting to talk about because he was the guy at this point in a lot of ways, whether he realized it or not.
So as always, I'll ask you, why did you want to cover this one?
This was, I kind of look at the calendar. I look at we're on Rumble season. I kind of see what's happening. Of course, Jericho just returning a couple of weeks ago on AEW. You know, we're in Rumble season. So it's hard to find too. Like, you know, covering a Rumble itself isn't fun necessarily. And so, but some of these matches really like that go on either before or some of them even after the Rumble itself kind of stand out is just really good. And so, and this was just one of those where all the pieces kind of fit for us to kind of talk about and cover.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one too. There's a lot to discuss about these two guys. Mm-hmm. So this will be fun. If you're ready, I'm ready. We ready for it?
Let's go back 2002.
All right. Let's go to the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
Rumble 2002, Atlanta, Georgia, Phillips Arena, 16,000 in attendance, buy rate of 670,000. So, you know, it's one of those big four shows, big time buy rate. All the main event guys are here, you know, the A, the B, right? I mean, remember, this is the era we're starting to get into some of these A and B shows before you know it. And so this was like one of those just stacked cards. We weren't doing 15 pay-per-views a year. Interesting show. We start off with Spike Dudley and Taz, your tag team champions, defeating the Dudley boys. Then William Regal wins the Intercontinental Championship over Edge.
Or went out for William Regal. Like,
yep. Yeah, seriously.
We'll talk about it. Yep.
We'll have to discuss him. Trish Stratus is going to retain your women's championship. This was a grueling, physical, back and forth, 3 minute and 43 second match. Then another match we need to add to our list is the Ric Flair Vince McMahon street fight that went 15 minutes, because this was Flair's first match since WCW closed. And, you know, there was speculation that Flair was never going to wrestle again.
Yep.
Ha ha ha. But for real. And so, you know, Vince McMahon gets him back in there for a street fight
and against himself. Yeah.
Yeah. And before you know it, Flair's wrestling at WrestleMania and back in the swing of things. Jericho Rock is our kind of singles main event. And then the Royal Rumble, which was very predictable, if you remember, Triple H last eliminating Kurt Angle. And that was one of those where, You kind of knew he was going to win, and you kind of knew he was going to throw Angle out last. You know, not a highly received show. The Jericho Rock match is, as you'll see, very highly rated. That's why we're covering it. The Rumble, not going to be your most memorable Rumble, but it was still a fun one nonetheless. So storyline standpoint, Jeff, how do we get to these two guys main eventing, really as the singles match, the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, like you said, a little bit, like Jericho being the WCW guy, that he was like really just a major part of the Invasion storyline when it was going on. Of course, as we all know, WCW and ECW kind of working together to take over at the time the WWF, WWE. And so, but because even though he was former WCW, he was actually working with WWE during this time. And so, but some of the animosity started to kind of show when kind of working with The Rock on that team and kind of working to defeat WCW and ECW. And so they actually had a match. So this Rumble, of course, taking place in late January of 2002, but they actually had a match. It was No Mercy. So yeah, October of 2001. So just a couple of months prior to this, it was for the WCW championship. They got that match because Jericho beat at the time Rob Van Dam, ECW guy. It was a number one contenders match on SmackDown. And so getting that match in the him actually winning the WCW championship at No Mercy. That was actually his first world title at that point. So, oddly enough, can they coexist? The question we all ask about everyone, they were able to coexist, him and The Rock. Actually, literally the next night, him and The Rock beating the Dudleys to win the WWE Tag Team Championship. And so, and a lot of, I say too, as I was kind of doing my notes and pulling this up, felt like, I don't remember, but a lot of title defenses on TV, I feel like something we're not seeing a whole lot right now, which we can talk about during the episode.
That's
but
the I didn't think about that. Very few world yep. title defenses on TV.
And so, but now we're getting world title tag and a lot of hot shotting too, because while they won the belts literally like late October, it was 1 week later, November 5th, where, The Rock defeating Jericho to regain the WCW championship. And so just a ton of back and forth. And so after that one, Jericho attacked The Rock. And so we're hot shot in the belt at this point. And so the Survivor Series get to that point. You have Jericho almost costing the WWF team the victory because he was eliminated and attacking The Rock again. You had Vengeance that December. You had Jericho beating The Rock for the world championship again. And then also beating Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF championship. And so this was on that same night at Vengeance, he became the first wrestler to hold both the championships at the same time. So Jericho, and it's one of those stats that you just kind of forget about, he was the first ever undisputed WWF champion at the time. And so also as well too, that night, like kind of crazy to think about, under like the original format, if you will, of the Grand Slam championship, he was the fourth guy to become a Grand Slam champion. And so this was either the two heavyweight WWE belts, either the tag or like Raw belts, then the Intercontinental, and then either the European or the hardcore. And so like you said, it's almost crazy to think that, yeah, he was a WCW guy, but by the end of 2001, we're not even to this match yet. Like, it's hard to say that The Rocket wasn't on the guy. Like, you know, he's double champ. He's a Grand Slam champ. He's beaten The Rock twice, a couple times at this point, like just crazy. And then the next night after he becomes undisputed champ, like after that, Vengeance pay-per-view, he beats Stone Cold again in a steel cage match on Raw, which made like, boy, what a time we were living in when we were getting Jericho and Stone Cold on a Monday night Raw steel cage match, like really just missing out at this point. So, and then he was beating everybody. He was beating Rob Van Dam. He was beating Big Show. He beat Kurt Angle, like really just like kicking ass on some of these guys. And so The Rock, though, getting the number one contender spot at this Royal Rumble premium live event it's a banned word. I read it's a banned word now, pay-per-view. And so, but beating Booker T actually to be the number one contender was actually an episode of SmackDown where he got that. And then, of course, they did not can they coexist, but pitting them against each other for once on tag teams. And so just before this, it was an episode of SmackDown. You had Rock and RVD actually beating Jericho in test. And so The Rock getting Jericho actually to submit via the sharpshooter on that one. And then leading us right into the Royal Rumble. So a lot of interaction with these guys, a lot of back and forth, a lot of feuding. And then Jericho almost, I say, like, really, like how the story played out, being a little bit more, in my opinion, like being a little bit more of the top guy than even The Rock was with the gold he was holding. I mean, he had both belts going into this match. And so just exciting, though. Absolutely. Good little, you know, we don't always get a tight little story like this, but that good little build.
Agreed. This was a good build. And there's so much going on, and you're exactly right. Just the quality of some of these Raws, I mean, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You think about it now. We talk about it during the match.
Let's get into it and we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So we are at the 1 hour and 4 minute mark of Royal Rumble 2002, that season 15, episode one. 1 hour, 4 minute mark, season 15, episode one. Jeff, are you ready?
Are you ready, Tom? I am.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Huge Rocky.
Oh, yeah. Chant.
Holy hell.
Stare down center of the ring.
Oh, you got that right. Now, this is a very important part of the match right here. Now, if I do.
Look at him. Rock just, or Jericho just jawing into the Rock's ear. Both guys just standing in the center of the ring.
That's how you have to do it if you're Jericho, right? You can't back down.
Kind of showing the size difference too, at least, or the camera angle, how they got it. Like, yeah, he's definitely got about 4 or 5 inches on him. The Rock. Oh, and there it is. The hand of the face telling The Rock to stop. Classic scene or classic photo right there. And then doing the come on. And here we go. Getting right into it. Okay, so we stopped ourselves, Tom. Thoughts on some of the and actually the next couple of weeks.
You mentioned, you made a great point about the star power on, yep, you know, on some of these shows leading up to the build. The what prompted me to think about this was last night. A friend of mine said, you know, you're not the only. By the way, Jeff, you're not the only person I talk wrestling with. I can count them on one hand, but there are a couple others. But he, you know, he said, who do you book to win the Royal Rumble? And I, you know, my thought was, there's just not a lot of star power, you know, because this is the WWE shift to, hey, it's all about the brand. It's all about WrestleMania. We don't want there to be another John Cena or another Rock or another Austin or Hogan that just, you know, is the brand. And, you know, you could argue you've Roman and Charlotte, what Brock, whatever. But my point, and I'm thinking about this, is I'm like, you know, who is there that's like a star or you can make a star? I didn't really have a good answer. The only answer I really had was I said, pull something out of left field. Give me Ciampa. Give me Braun Breaker. I mean, like, give me someone to be like, holy shit, this guy just won the Royal Rumble. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't know what you do. I mean, yeah, you could do Rollins, maybe you do Owens. I don't know. I just, the only other thing I threw out there, I mean, just stupid, dumbass fantasy booking. I said, you know, have The Undertaker surprise everyone, win it, and have his final match in Texas in front of an audience. But really, I there just wasn't a lot. But my point, I think, to this is, if we keep doing the 50-50 booking, no one's really a star. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and it was actually, I don't know if you read and some of the dirt, it was actually Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin coming out and saying kind of along the same lines of, and the quote, I'll read it here is, they've cut, I think, 86 wrestlers from their roster this past calendar year. So yeah, you don't have this rich variety you might've had before, but even then, man, it's like, how many times can we watch the same match over again? Which I think is point on. And now we know we're getting Seth and Roman at the Rumble in just a singles match. I think there's a little variety because they, you know, Charlotte is kind of calling her shots and putting herself in the match, say, because she said she wants to be able to pick who she fights at Mania, which it's a little bit of a twist. I like that. And so it's different, but at the same time, I'm with you of like, it's hard to say like who do you put the rocket on? Because the reality is like right now, as we sit here, like Roman's not losing in the next year. Like, you know, it's just, you know, he's going to get the belt back. It's going to like, or, you know, he's going to retain the belt. It's just going to be a thing. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. And so, and same with like Brock, I just don't know, like, what are we going to do to get the title off him as well too? So there's just, I'm with you. It's a weird time and there's just zero build to anything. Of even trying to build a star, I feel like the only star that they've had, like Liv Morgan for a couple of weeks here, but then she just keeps losing. So, you know, and they botched the ending of the one match. And so it just didn't look right. Cause I think everyone said Becky was supposed to get back on the ropes and she didn't. So it looked more of just an awkward thing. And so I don't know, but
I just don't know. I just can't remember a time in the business where there was a less obvious choice for like someone that you're like, okay, you know, I mean, yeah, we knew it was Shawn Michaels' time. We knew it was Austin's time. You know, I mean,
yep.
You know, it's time for these guys, right? And it's just like, I don't know who that person is right now. That's the other problem with having two world champions is Lashley's been champion. AJ's been champion. Kevin Owens has been champion. Rollins has been champion. Reigns has been champion. McIntyre's been champion. Lesnar's been champion. Who on the roster hasn't been the fucking world champion?
And I asked the question, so how much of it too, in your opinion, is like the weekly show just continues to suck? And so until the weekly show gets better, because you and I both admit to like, if we have Raw or SmackDown on, it's just kind of in the background. Like, and I do, you know, and I probably watch a little bit more Rampage and Dynamite than I do those shows. But like until those shows get better, is it possible? Like they can't build the story just through a monthly pay-per-view, premium live event. What is the steps going to need to be in your opinion, in order for them to actually start doing something to build something different?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Here's the issue we have, right? Like all of these premium live events, they're all pretty good. You know, pretty good cards, big audiences. Some of them are in arena or in stadiums now, right? You got the WrestleMania and the Rumble and, you know, Survivor Series and two stacked Stoddy shows and SummerSlam. And, you know, now they're going to put Money in the Bank in a arena or in a stadium. So like they're doing these stacked cards. The problem is, to your point, okay, it's time for me to watch Reigns and Rollins, right? Two super athletic guys in the prime of their careers, bona fide main eventers, right? Okay. Why should I care?
Mm-hmm.
Do I care about the title? Not really. There's two world championships, two IC level championships, two women's championships, three tag titles. I mean, there's just so much going around. So why should I care? Now, traditionally, why we cared was, hey, leading up to this match, you're not going to believe what Stone Cold Steve Austin did. He drove a beer truck out there. You're not going to believe what happened. The Undertaker abducted, Stephanie McMahon. I mean, right. There was really interesting stuff. So even if you didn't watch Raw or SmackDown, you'd watch the vignette before these matches and you'd go, holy shit, Randy Orton, attacked Triple H or, you know, I mean, like there's yeah. just something where I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So this guy intruded this guy's house. This guy, you know, kissed this guy's wife. I mean, there was like interesting, provocative things between characters I cared about. Now, oh, well, you know, it's Rollins and Reigns, and you should care about it because they used to be in a tag team together. Yeah, but they've wrestled a bunch of times already. I don't care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the closest I think they've come, you know, in the last few years is, you know, Edge and Orton. Oh, okay. There's a story there. I got it. But there's so few examples of that. So yeah, your point's well taken, which is nothing interesting happens on TV. Therefore, we get to these big shows. Yes, I watch it because yes, I already pay for Peacock, and no, I'm not doing anything else, you know, on a Sunday night. So why the hell wouldn't I tune in? But there's nothing for me to grab onto and care about.
Yep.
And if all we're caring about is the wrestling, what haven't we seen? You know, I mean, AEW does a far better job of it than WWF, but what haven't we seen? What are, you know, and again, I'll keep using the example, but it's like, what are Rollins and Reigns going to physically do in a match that we haven't seen 1,000 times from both guys and even seen them do together in a match?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and even like day one, and so the kind of star rating, we had two lines.
That's a perfect example.
Yep.
Stack show, lot happening, but at the end of it, you're like, okay, were you on the edge of your seat at any point during day one?
No, and all of the star ratings did come out for that one. There was not a single match below a 2.75, which in reality, that's not bad.
No,
like 3.25, 3.75 on the main event on that one.
Match the highest rated?
The main event was, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. New Day and Usos was a 4. Yes. And so, but you expect that, like, you know, that's how it should be.
How many 4-star matches have occurred in the last 30 years?
And how many times have we seen the New Day and the Usos? Like, it just, yeah, not a thing. And so just something to kind of be aware of is we're kind of, you know, like all this stuff. So here you go, Rock, getting Jericho in the sharpshooter again. I miss the camera flashes too, like crazy going off around the ring at this point. Yeah, it is. And I think at least like AEW. Okay,
but I'll give you an example.
Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. So, you know, we're not going to sit here and bash the product without giving some recommendations. So here's my recommendation. We've already seen this 100 times. Do something different with those guys.
Yeah.
You know, hey, New Day, we're getting in their rental car after their match. The Usos actually hit them with a pickup truck.
Yeah.
I'm just something where I'm like, oh, holy shit. Wow. Like, do something interesting.
Jericho just hit a rock bottom on the rock. Here we go. After some shenanigans here. Yep. Oh no. And the kick out. Was that Lance Storm and Test trying to interfere? Yeah.
Christian and Storm. Okay. I was going to ask you who that was. Now, are they affiliated at all at this point? Or were they just kind of, hey, well, they're all Canadian.
Is that Christian? Oh yeah. Wow. That's Christian. I'm sorry. It's not Test. Yep. And so, all right. Well, okay. Yeah. It must be. Okay. Anyways, you were saying, yeah, mix it up. Do something. Hit them with a car.
Something where, again, you get to these shows and it's like, oh, these two, you know, we have 6 tag teams in the division, so one's champion and we'll have them face them. There's just nothing interesting. You know, I mean, any of this stuff. Hey, we're going to put Becky Lynch against Liv Morgan. Why do I? And I don't even know, Jeff, I don't even know what I am at this point. I guess I'm a casual fan. I don't know. I'm a lapsed fan. I mean, whatever I am, why do I care about these two?
Yeah.
Why do I care about her individually? Why do I care about them together? I don't. This show got 94% thumbs up. I'm actually really surprised by that.
Yeah. And it's one of those where I'm with you on like, why do I care? And you and I both like, and part of it is, has the product just not evolved to be like what their average age is over 50 of their viewer? Like we're young, actually. We're young viewers at this point. And so, yeah, I'm with like just the technological age, like the behind the scenes stories are more like better to read about than what we're seeing. And you and I have even said it on the show. What are some of the stories we like when like some are better than others and we're worse than others, but like when they start blurring the lines on some of these things, I feel like the biggest news coming out of the New Year's Evil show on NXT was the fact that, well, one, they've absolutely decimated anyone that Triple H brought in. But at the same time, like the kicking of the Black and Gold X was a bigger story for Bron Breakker than anything other than Bron Breakker winning. Like I've seen more headlines about that than the fact that Bron won. And so like, you know, there's such a disconnect in that of like, if you want people talking about your product, how they're talking about your product is not, you know, the way that you may want it right now. So you got to figure something different out.
We're getting ready for one of the, like they took the top off of both tables
and removed the TVs.
Now we're down to one table. Now I think on most of the standard setup, they do.
Used to be three. They had three tables to work with back in the day. Boy, miss the pay-per-view days. I don't know about you. These premium live events are terrible. Like,
well, I like AEW. Oh, wow.
Woo, reversed it. Jericho going for the rock bottom of the rock.
One table onto the other table.
Crazy. Yep.
Man, this is one of the better rock matches I can ever remember.
This is very good. Hard hitting. Both. It's been nonstop action. They're in the ring. They're outside the ring now, but really good stuff.
Yeah. To your point about the back, it's interesting you say that about the behind the scenes being more interesting. You know, I have my friends that obviously aren't wrestling fans, you know, are like, why do you still watch this shit? And I'm like, this probably will make no sense to you. But what I find intriguing are the behind the scenes stuff.
Yep.
In the business side of it. Which yep. Maybe you argue are the same thing, but I mean, I'm fascinated by, you know, Tony Khan's business model versus Vince McMahon's. I'm really fascinated by, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. So it's all of that, the actual product. I mean, I don't know. I buzz through Raw, SmackDown, AEW, whatever. If something's good, I'll watch it. I try to watch the big shows, but that's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're getting more and more, looks like we're going back to Saudi Arabia too. They're saying late February, unofficially announced, but you know, well, you figure we're barely a month away from when that show is going to happen.
But it's so crazy because it's like you gotta pack a stadium for the Rumble. You gotta deliver a great Saudi show. Then you gotta do WrestleMania.
Yeah.
How many times can Lesnar and Reigns fight? Did you get 20 matches out of Lesnar in this year's contract? I mean. How many times, you know, it's crazy.
Well, and how many
times? And then it begs the question, why would you release Bray Wyatt? Why would you release Braun Strowman? I mean, these are guys that you can at least plug into a main event. You can at least get a Lesnar-Braun match every once in a while or a Fiend-Reigns match. I mean, right?
Well, and even 2-3 years ago, like how many times did you really hear about like someone letting their contract just expire? Like, and I get like AEW has changed the landscape and all this stuff, but someone like Johnny Gargano, like it's a huge story that his contract is just ending.
They have like, somewhere else to go now.
Right.
Now you can go to Japan. You can go to AEW. You can probably make a half decent living working independence if, you know, you're entrepreneurial and you, you know, get your name out there and you do some signings. You know,
I say too, right now the Rock's struggling to get out of the show. I love this version of the Rock where he's like fighting and like the just how he expresses himself is fucking incredible. Awesome. Yeah, and like fighting out of the line to small package. Nope, didn't get it. Yeah, there is so many places to go. But and again, I think it's part of this digital age of like there's so much out there. And yeah, maybe we're getting work sometimes with some of the stories, but then also like a lot of it's true. Like, you know,
well, keep in mind some of it's generational too, right? Like the younger wrestlers now, they're not going to have that mentality of like, oh, I need to like abide by whatever the big bad corporation says. Like, I mean, they're much more ref bump here. They're much more of the mindset of, you know, I'm going to carve my own path. Like I can build my own personal brand, but you look at it and you're like, what's Miro making on Twitch? What are Adam Cole? I mean, so these guys are sitting there, they're probably making six figures on Twitch, Cameo, whatever else they're doing, right?
Second ref.
You're getting
Shane?
Nick Patrick. No,
Nick Patrick. Yep.
So, but you can make six figures, you know, between pro wrestling tees and Twitch or whatever that's called. Or am I thinking of something, whatever the hell that is, and Cameo and everything else out there. You go to 10 wrestling conventions a year. You wrestle 40 independent matches. That's 200 grand a year. And you don't have to listen to anyone. You own your own trademark and personality. No one can fire you or let you go. You don't have to deal with all the bullshit of creative. It's not a bad living, and it's not for everyone, but Gargano can do it. If Adam Cole wanted to do it, he could.
Those numbers
when Tony Khan says, look, I'll give you a $500,000 guaranteed and you can work with all your buddies and still do all that other shit, that's actually the best deal in the business. But why would you feel like you have to sign? You know, you get guys like a Kevin Owens who just re-signed. You know, AJ is another guy that could have left and re-signed. Why did those guys do it? Well, they're probably getting thrown $2 million a year. They're in the late stages of their career, cement their legacy. It's not that grueling of a schedule in terms of like the matches aren't that intense. So yep. Why the hell not?
There was the leaked Twitch report. This is between August 2019 and October 2021. It says Paige tops the list of Twitch earnings with $478,000, followed by Zelina Vega, who banked $341,000, and then AEW star Adam Cole collecting $318,000. Yeah, you're making somewhere between a quarter and a half of $1 million just from sitting playing Uno, like on Twitch, which is what they do, like literally Uno. Like, yeah, I would do that too. Yeah, Jericho using the ropes now because Earl Hebner's out of it, getting the pin.
That's it.
And got it. Yeah. After some shenanigans in the air with a no count from the second ref and then the Rock Bottom, but then Jericho using the ropes to get the win over the Rock.
That was a hell of a match.
Actually, the ref bumps worked like that. While there was the shenanigans, it still looked good. Yep. And there you go, fans. They did get the rock bottom at that point. Yep. And there it was, the low blow that set it up. That's all it takes. I do believe in the low blow, how they do it.
Yeah, but I mean, they went like with the Nakamura AJ stuff. There was a little too much of it.
Yeah, that was too much. Yeah, that was too much. But good to see it. All right, and double champ, leaving with the belts. Okay,
let's get to the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, initial thoughts.
Really good. Surprisingly good. I'm glad I picked this one because this is one of those that kind of, you know, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. It's always like kind of reading the reviews. Sometimes like I should have known this by now after doing this show for almost 3 years, two and a half years that they're, you know, the review write-ups do not always paint the picture of what we're about to see in the ring.
Agreed.
So pleasantly surprised. How about you?
Really, really enjoyed it. Really, really good. Really good Rock match. In fact, I don't know where that, it's not a famous Rock match, but I'm just curious. I'm just looking at I just want to see if it's ranked in his top 10 ever.
Yeah. I'll start talking about this one as you're kind of looking up and seeing what's going on. So, yeah. So in the aftermath, what happened on this one, is we're dealing with, so Jericho actually, Austin won the number one contender match, against Kurt Angle on an episode of Raw. So that he could take him on at No Way Out. Really the two of these guys kind of going back and forth, and kind of having a feud, Austin and Jericho. So again, going back to the boy, I don't know if you still have the episode on. Are you seeing Shawn Michaels here in the Texas shirt and the cowboy hat?
I saw it this morning when I was reviewing it.
Yeah. Oh boy. What a look for the Heartbreak Kid.
Is that in WWF New York?
Yep, he's at WWF New York Times Square, baby. And so, so Jericho eventually losing the title to the Rumble winner, Triple H. We'll talk about that one, how that story played out. So that was WrestleMania X8, losing that one. And then actually going over to the SmackDown brand in the draft, what would have been the inaugural first annual, if you will, draft lottery. And so doing that. So, Yeah, interfering in Triple H's match against Hollywood Hulk Hogan as well, too, at Backlash. Triple H losing that match as well, too. And so it also lead to a Hell in the Cell match at Judgment Day, where Triple H would beat Jericho on that one as well, too. And then going on to going into the 2002 King of the Ring tournament, he actually beat Edge in the Big Valbowski, but was eventually beat by Rob Van Dam. And so, some of those stories coming back, with Rob Van Dam and things like that, which is nice to see. So The Rock, on the other hand, though, at the next show, No Way Out, a premium live event, Rock beating The Undertaker, and that one is a singles match. This was also, like I said, the invasion angle was a big part of before this. And so at that No Way Out premium live, this was actually the debut of the New World Order at the time, which was the original class of Hollywood, Nash, and Hall, eventually leading to, of course, as we have covered before on this show, go back in the archives, make sure to check it out, the Icon versus Icon at WrestleMania 18 X8, Rock and Hogan, which of course, Hogan, as he's known to do, doing the job and letting Rock getting the pin over him for the win. So good stuff on that one. So yeah, both guys just kind of doing that. So was this a top match, Tom? Did you find that out?
It's not in Rock's top 10. But it's right around there. Like it's probably in like the 11 to 15 range.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one they had at No Mercy, I think, may have been rated a bit higher. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a better match, but interesting.
Good. Okay. So PWI giving you on that one. So 2002. And so remember, this is the start of the year and where these guys kind of went after this. Jericho number 4, The Rock number 9. And so, PW Torch on this one. It says Jericho versus Rock was a very good match and it held its own right before the bigger Royal Rumble match. It didn't seem to cheapen the title to have it before the Rumble since Rock was the challenger. Jericho is doing a very good job being good enough to seem like a credible champion, even though he's not quite the star that The Rock, Triple H, and Austin are. I agree. The key for him is to keep the belt on him as long as possible. Too bad it's not August instead of January, since he'll have to drop the title between now and WrestleMania, since I doubt Jericho versus Triple H will be main eventing. Incorrect, Wade Keller. It did happen. And so having that one where he lost it there, but still really good. And so the Torch giving this one 3¾ star. Now, like Tom said, yes, the Observer newsletter actually ranking this match by quite a bit bigger and or better than the Royal Rumble itself, where they were getting 195 thumbs up or, kind of votes for this match versus 129 to the Rumble. And so just kind of interesting how people portrayed this one or felt about this one. So while Wade gave this one 3¾, Meltzer actually giving this one 4¼ stars. And so they had their usual very good match. This was one stretch in the middle that got boring when Jericho applied the longest single chin lock ever, which I didn't feel that way at all. There was a segment of the crowd that was solidly behind Jericho, turned into a very good match by the finish. So kind of a nice little spread here, 3¾, 4¼. Tom, what is your payoff score?
Payoff score is going to be a 7.5.
Okay.
Means really like the match. Again, nothing like, hey, you gotta watch this match, it was incredible. But if I'm watching this show and this is the title match before I get the Rumble, I'm pretty happy. I'm like, wow, that was awesome. And then now we're leading into the Rumble, which, was, and in my opinion, still is just one of the highlights of the WWE calendar. So yeah, 7.5, really liked it, really happy with it. It was better than I probably expected in terms of the match. What about you?
Yeah, I would say before, like, thinking about my score, I'm going to actually give it 20% off. Use that promo code payoff20 at manscaped.com. Free shipping as well, too. New year, new you. Want to make sure you're using that. So don't forget, payoff20, use that code at manscaped.com for 20% off free shipping. But I will not give 20% off to my score. No markdown or anything like that. I'm with you. I was thinking 7.5. So I'm going to give it 7¼, actually. I think this is one where, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by the match itself. I think I ranked that very high. I think if it's a really good match on its own, it can stand on its own. And so ranked that really well. On the flip side, yeah, the build itself, there was just, it's kind of sign of the times. There was a lot of back and forth, hot shotting. It was not long. Even they said, like, you got to hold the not holding the belt for a long time, which wrong prediction on that one. We did eventually get Triple H and Jericho. And so I think looking at it from that, yeah. But the match itself, like, I definitely, this is one where I would tell people, go back and watch this one. It's very good. You had two personalities that were, like, you know, very interesting dichotomy against each other. And so them kind of taking each other on was really good. I think, too, like, you know, Jericho, even though like they even said, we're not necessarily the superstar of some of these other guys, the Rocket, like, he walked into the ring with both belts. So, you know, hard to say that, you know, looking back in retrospect, that he was not that kind of star, whether we recognized it or not. So, yeah, good stuff. So I will bump it up. I will match you into a 7.5 on this one. Good stuff.
Good. Well, great episode. I think we're out of here.
Send them home happy. Yep.
We have one next week. I'm very, very excited about. It's Eddie Guerrero and Six, also known as X-Pac, in a ladder match. It's sold out, and so this is a very highly rated match. I've either never seen it or maybe saw it years and years and years ago. So I'm really excited for that one. So make sure to tune in if you have. Some disgusting body hair, make sure to go on manscaped.com. Hey, I do, you do. Pay off 20% off and free shipping. What I really like about it too is it's just fast. Like, if I look down or look around and I'm like, oh, well, you know, 30 seconds later, boom, I'm clean and good to go. This isn't like a difficult process. So I really like that. So, all right, we'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.